1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold.
Still can't decide.
Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon.
Feels like a businesswoman about town. That's what this music.
I feel like this could have been in Beverly Hills Cop. Like
definitely in the credits after it's over.
Yeah.
Or in the 80s movie montage where somebody's having a bit of a glow up. You know, they're having kind of their moment.
Getting the hair
done. They're
going
through shopping.
Yeah. Somebody's driving like a nice convertible right now through the streets of like L.A. or San Francisco or something in a movie. Anyway, we're expected to hear from Andy Reid in just a couple of minutes after practice is now, I think, wrapped up just a few minutes ago. Same with George Karloftis and Hollywood Brown. You'll hear that right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5. The Fan, of course, Chiefs football on the air Friday night, 3 hours before kickoff. Live in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
And of course, Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
I'm curious to hear from Hollywood Brown, though. And again, he's going to speak in just a few minutes.
He's got an interesting year ahead of him.
Well, it's a big year for him for future contracts. The Chiefs need him in particular the first 6 weeks, as we know, with the Rashee Rice suspension. But he was at camp, and then he basically was gone for 3 weeks. We haven't heard from the guy in 3.5 weeks, at least. And this will be the first time today that he speaks post-ankle injury. Maybe we'll get some more clarification on exactly what it was. We never found out exactly what it was. I think he was asked, Andy Reid was, you know, is it a high ankle sprain? He said it was more like that than anything, but it wasn't as severe and didn't require surgery. We'll find out just kind of where he's at. I think it was, one, more serious than they let on, but at the same time, they were going to be very protective because they knew, one, his history, but also that Rashee Rice was likely going to be suspended at some point. And so I want Hollywood Brown to be healthy all year, but the reality is I specifically need him the first 6 weeks of the season when I know I don't have Rashee Rice. Because if you tell me Hollywood Brown has to miss 2 weeks, week 12 to 14, all right, that's okay. You don't want
it. I'd like it to be after week six, that's for sure.
Yes.
Ideally after week eight, when Rashee Rice has gotten a few weeks to kind of get the offense back up and rolling. He is the, I don't know if I'd call him like the X factor of the offense. He is maybe the biggest unknown of what their offensive potential can be. I understand what Xavier Worthy has and can add to the offense. I understand what Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice can and have added to the offense, Pacheco and others. I have never seen Hollywood Brown as a regular member of the Kansas City Chiefs. He has at one point in his life been a 1,000-yard receiver in the NFL. I happen to think that those years are gone. And that whatever potential he was of a 1,000-yard receiver probably isn't hiding in there. And this is more of an Allen Robinson scenario. But, you know, we'll see.
All right, let's hear from Andy Reid right now on 96.5 The Fan.
All right. The only one that didn't practice today was Royals. Everybody else practiced, had a good day today. Look forward to the challenge of playing the Chargers. Tomorrow we'll hop on the plane and head out and go from there. We have a walkthrough down there. The following day, so which would be a normal Saturday for us. Anyways, time's yours.
What have you seen from Hollywood this week as far as how the ankle looks, the foot looks, towards being 100%?
Yeah, listen, he's done everything, so he looked good up there. Run around and, you know, he's getting the game and play. So, but he's, as far as practice goes, he's done everything.
How about the Chargers? Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's the first game. You haven't got a big track record on what they've done so far. New guy with Harbaugh last year. What do you expect out of them?
Yeah, listen, I mean, you know they're well coached. Jim does a great job with that crew, and he's got good coordinators, good coaches, and like any year early in the season, you got to be ready and flexible to adjust with new things that might come up.
Thanks,
man. So they're treating that as basically a Friday. If you guys know, Fridays during the season are fast Fridays, and that was fast on
Did
a
Did they
on
ask
a Tuesday.
Him to be short today? He's going to be nice and long on Thursday, well, Thursday when he speaks to the media in front of Brazil.
Yeah, and Thursday he'll be talking to the international and foreign media and all that, so that'll be longer. We are going to hear from Hollywood Brown and Karloftis. Only really wasn't much out of that, obviously. We kind of knew Jalen Royals was not going to practice. You mentioned Hollywood Brown. He's practicing. We know that. I was going to say we'll just continue our Hollywood Brown conversation since there wasn't much there from Andy.
Yeah, who we'll hear from in a moment.
The over-under on yardage, you were saying, you know, what do you expect and all that. For Hollywood Brown this year, 575.5 over at DraftKings and FanDuel.
Well, it's helped by the fact that the first six games, he won't have Rashee Rice to compete with.
That's the thing. That's why I actually believe it's in play.
His last full year as a starter, or the last full year, full-ish year, he's been an injured player, but you get the point. The last year he had played, he actually played in 16 games that season. He had, 11 games that season. 14 games, 11 games started, 14 games total for them, I guess. I don't know, whatever it was. 709 yards in 12 games. In 14 games, he had 574 yards in Arizona. The year before that, he had 1,000 in Baltimore and 769 in 16 and 16 games. So it suggests to you that if you think he stays healthy, that number should be in play. The truth is, I expect him to play 12 or 13 games and have probably right around the number, 525 yards, 550 yards, which, by the way, is fine. That would have been like third on the team last year. Hollywood Brown doesn't need to be this team's number one. He doesn't even have to be this team number two or third option. He needs to be their fourth or fifth receiving option. So at 525 yards, I would consider that a massive upgrade over what has been their fourth option in this offense, which has pretty much been Justin Watson the last 4 years. So like 3 years, I would lock in 550 if you gave it to me.
The hope should be what we saw. Was it the Texans game was his first real game back, if I'm not mistaken. Like that's the one you hope. You saw why they were excited about him to begin with. Now, we're not going to see him with Rice on the field, but we didn't even see him with Rice in that Texans game. That was with Worthy, and that was with Travis Kelce available. I mean, that's what we're going to see Friday night in Brazil. So as much as I think the beneficiary from the Rice suspension ultimately is actually Juju, Hollywood Brown, if we believe the down-the-field passing game is back, if that's actually going to happen, it's not just Worthy, it's Brown, and it's Tyquan Thornton. And that would be the question. How much does Tyquan Thornton get opportunities down the field? And if that's the case, then I would be worried about hitting the over on the 575 for Brown. If you think Thornton's going to get some opportunities down the field. Because for Hollywood Brown to get over 575, he's going to probably have to connect on some 35-plus yard plays early down the field. Yeah, fairly early on in the season. But because of the unknown availability, that's probably why you stay away from the yardage, just because you always know with him there's a chance that he can miss significant time.
I'll give him credit. He usually gets, you know, between 4 and 7 touchdowns. He's usually in and around the end zone. And yeah, in a per-game yardage, he's been relatively consistent other than the 1 year he managed to be a 1,000-yard guy. 41, 46, 41, 45 in 4 of his 7 seasons as a starter. That would put him at like the 650 mark. Okay, great. Yeah. And again, I'm not even counting on that for him. For him, it's can you be enough of a distraction deep that the underneath stuff actually has a chance to get taken care of.
I don't need, it's basically you're balancing, do you believe he's playing in more than 13 games? If he is, then he doesn't even actually have to connect on the deep passes to get to 575. But if you think he's only going to play in 10 games, then you better hope you have the deep connections, because, you know, 14 games, you're only asking for, at that point in time, what, 55 yards? If you get him to play in all 17, you're asking for 33 yards a game. That sounds easy, but the chance of playing in 17 games is fairly slim.
Which means he's got to be a 40-yard per game guy and play 13 or 14 in order to get that number.
More, yeah, maybe more than that. Actually.
Again, that's why I would lock in 550.
Yeah,
I would. I would lock in 550, and I'd feel very comfortable.
And thinking of Hollywood Brown, he is speaking to the media right now.
Hollywood, just generally speaking, just stemming from the ankle stuff, how are you feeling right now?
Feeling good, blessed, real good.
What was going through your mind at practice with that? You pulled up with that at first there in the end zone, and was there any not agains or anything like that going through your head?
Of course. I mean, I'm human. But ultimately, like, with everything that I've been through, I never really get too high, too low. So, you know, after that day, I probably was in my feelings a little bit that day. But moving forward, just went to attacking it.
Who helped you the most behind the scenes just to get ready for week one?
Everyone. I mean, last year was tough for me mentally. So this time around, leaning, you know, on my family, on my coaches, chaplain, everybody, you know, they was there for me. And, you know, I feel blessed to, you know, be in this position.
What are the challenges entering this without any preseason snaps, you know, to your name?
I don't really look at it as no challenges. I mean, I've been blessed to play this game for a while, so I'm just excited to get to Brazil.
Made it back at the end of last season, but is there kind of a feeling that you've been waiting like 13 months for this game to come?
Yeah, definitely. For a while. Even, you know, before I got here, I didn't finish the season in Arizona. So, you know, I feel like this is one of my first seasons in the Wild. That's what it feels like.
Just having you completely healthy and Xavier on the other side can do for what the offense can be this year.
It's exciting. Definitely excited, you know, to take the field with him, with all the guys, just ready to showcase what we could do.
You're down a couple of guys, Rashee and Jalen. But did you feel like a little extra sense of responsibility to have the position group play well this week?
No, not really. I mean, we know what we could do. You know, when guys go down, it's next man up. When I went down, it's next man up. And that's our mentality throughout the whole team. So for us, it's just doing what we do.
Hollywood, how far has your chemistry come with Patrick since the beginning of last year now?
A lot. I mean, you know, it's easy to build chemistry with a guy like that. So it's basically, you know, feeling our speed, feeling how I like to do things. And from that point on, you know, the guys, you know, he get it there.
You guys have a long day of travel ahead tomorrow. What do you got stacked up to get through the flight?
Oh, me, I'm, like I said, I ain't really play. So I'm excited. Whatever we're going to do, I'm excited and getting ready to play.
Chris said
you
got a TV you can take on the plane.
Watching movies? I'll probably watch some movies, bring my video game, you know, prepare for the game.
Thanks, Hollywood.
All right, so that was Hollywood Brown speaking about the travel there at the end. They do fly to Brazil tomorrow. My guess is the seats they'll be flying, and there'll be plenty of room to sleep and stuff like that.
So he's going to play video games the whole time. That's a great way to pass the time.
Yeah, or just sleep.
I've never been on, I can't sleep on the plane. Maybe in those seats.
Those seats, again, they're not, there's not three wide. You're not in middle seat. You're getting in those nice, I don't know if it'll be the same type of deal they had for Germany. This flight's not as long as that, but it's still
how long of a flight is it? Do we know?
I do not know. That's actually a good question.
Because the Juwan Taylor part I had asked Nate Taylor about earlier does fascinate me as part of this.
Well, let's go back out there, though, and hear from George Karlaftis.
George, how fired up are you for the opener? I mean, you do all this work and the way last year ended.
Yeah, just like you said, you know, we have a lot of motivation going into this season. Prove some people right, prove some people wrong. Fired up, super excited to get this thing started and prove what we got and what we're made of. So,
the Chargers lost one of their big pieces on the offensive line earlier. You guys haven't, I mean, you're scouting preseason games and whatever you can get. But what does their unit look like right now? What you get ready to see on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, you know, kind of fairly similar, minus that one change. Like you said, they brought in a new guy and kind of some similar pieces from last year and what we've seen for sure. I mean, we got a lot of respect for that unit. They're a good team, and they got a great O-line, great quarterback, of course, receivers, all that stuff. So, you know, they got a great unit up front. So,
George, you've played Justin Herbert several times now. What makes him different than other NFL quarterbacks?
You know, I'm not going to say, like, what, like, differentiates him, in my opinion, because that doesn't really matter. But he's one of those elite guys. You know, he's one of those top quarterbacks that really can do it all. You know, there's the Patricks of the world, the Justin Herberts of the world, Josh Allen, Lamar, you know, the list goes on. But he really could do it all. So I wouldn't say it's what makes him different. I guess I should say what makes him different is that he could do it all. Like those elite guys, he could throw the ball, he's dangerous with his feet. So he really could do it all, and he's really smart, too. So we respect the heck out of him.
George, I know last year the defensive line kind of got off to a slower start as far as sack numbers and what you guys are used to. How much has that been stressed to kind of get off to a quicker start in that category this year?
Yeah, we're definitely aware of that, and it's kind of talked. It's been talked amongst ourselves the whole offseason, and definitely one of the motivators we have going into the season. You know, just affecting the quarterback in any way we can, because that's going to help our team win at the end of the day and our defense succeed. So. Definitely something that we're going to strive for, just getting the quarterback down, affecting the game in the best way we can.
George, just curious what you've seen from Charles throughout training camp.
Charles come back and put his head down and worked. You know, he's been awesome. I think this is the first time since Charles has been here that he'll start off the season with us. So that's great. You know, we got our rush group, we got our guys, and you know, I'm super excited for him. For all of us, I know all of us got something to prove, and certainly Charles is too. So we're really fired up. We're really excited.
You look around the defensive room, just what you have on the roster right now. What do you like about your defensive room heading into this season?
The D line or the defense? Well, there's a lot of continuity. You know, it's been ever since I've been here in 2022. I feel like it's been like a core group of guys that's been the same, and that goes for coaches too. You know, minus like. guy here or there and a coach here or there, but it's been very similar, which is great because, you know, you could build off of stuff. Everybody's familiar. There's not as much teaching. You know, everybody's familiar. You know where you're at, where you're going, all that stuff. So it's awesome. There's guys that, you know, like I said, because we didn't finish the way we wanted to last year, we're extremely motivated, and, you know, we're hungry.
You're 6'4". How are you?
I'm 6'3" and 3 fourths. Yeah. 6'03" at the combine. So.
I'm the same height, so I ran up to 6'4".
I probably should too, right? 6'5" with shoes on.
How are you feeling about that 12-hour plane ride down, a couple hours on a bus?
I don't know how other people feel, but for me, I'm kind of almost used to it. You know, I traveling back and forth from Greece since I was, you know, a younger kid, so it's not the end of the world. I mean, when you've done it enough, and I've done it since I was, you know, a year old. I was the first time I came to America, you know, when I was in Greece, and kind of gone back and forth ever since. It's kind of something I'm used to, and, you know, the more you do it, the more comfortable you get, and you know how to deal with it. So, you know, for me, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, I'm a huge proponent, obviously, being an international guy, but more and more international games being played, I'm all for it. I think that's the next step in getting this great game to grow kind of internationally. So I'm all for it. Yeah, the flight is a little long, but what are you going to do?
When was the last time you made that flight to Greece?
Well, I came back in May. So.
Yeah, just this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it depends on which route you take. It depends on which route you take, and depending on what time of the year. If you go, there's a direct from JFK, Boston, Miami, Atlanta, and Philly, and Chicago, too, actually, from, I think it's like late April to mid-September. So then you got the direct. Delta and American has that. And then all the other year you make a stop. So you go like Kansas City to one of the bigger ones, and then a stop in Europe, and then that, too. So. It really just depends. I've done it all, trust me.
This would be nice, though. One flight.
It'll be nice. The first direct Kansas City to Sao Paulo. So it'll be cool.
Have you noticed more interest in football in Greece since you've been entered the league?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, my fiance is over there right now, kind of, you know, visiting family, all that stuff. And she kind of expressed to me that, you know, she's going places and people are like coming up to her and like asking her about me and stuff like that. And when I was back for a couple months in the off season, you know, that's where I stay and all that. But it was awesome. Just, I think the sport is growing a lot more, you know, definitely in like the Spanish speaking countries. Like, I know it's huge in Spain, in Greece, certainly. I think in Europe, you'll see more and more of it as we play more international games. So I'm all for it. You know, I was in a unique situation. My mom's from America, so I had a unique opportunity to come to America, but there's a lot of kids out there that could benefit from the programs that the league's having with Player Pathway and give some opportunities to some kids over there. So I'm all for the international stuff.
You start getting in those Greece marketing deals now?
Not as much. I like to be more incognito when I'm back home, but yeah, it's, you know, it's all good.
There you go. George Karloftis speaking there, talking about going back home to Greece in the summertime and a little bit of the travel schedule. He's probably right. Yeah, I don't think there's normally a nonstop from Kansas City to Sao Paulo, Brazil.
I don't think so.
But they, of course, will have the nonstop. We were looking it up. Somebody was asking the flight time. What, about
12 hours, yeah, somewhere in that range.
Versus Frankfurt, which was like 15, wasn't
it? Maybe they get to blast up the speed a little bit on their jet versus, you know, what you and I fly.
I mean, there's still limitations. It's still operated by, you know, United or somebody.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a long flight. That goes back, again, the Nate Taylor thing that I don't want to fly under the radar is Juwan Taylor's had a knee problem. Turns out, when you have knee problems and then you put that knee on an airplane at altitude for 12 hours, there's a non-zero chance they get there and he's got to have like his knee drained or it's stiffer than they thought. And there was a practice this weekend where Jalen Moore did take snaps with the first team right tackle spot. And I'm assuming that that's not because Juwan Taylor's not ready today, but then in an effort of if there is a problem and we run into that problem, what is our preparedness level if Juwan Taylor's knee's funky by the time we get to Brazil? And that's Jalen Moore, obviously, a guy who has played tackle in the NFL.
I just can't imagine. I'm
guessing Juwan Taylor will play. It's just one of those things to keep an eye on when they get there.
I think that's fair. I just can't imagine, though, like, again, you and I going on a 12-hour flight, you know, on a normal coach, you know, economy airline. It's a little bit different than, I'm assuming they have a little bit more space on these flights than the average person.
I'll just tell you right now, I have not flown to, like, Europe or that. I might just, I'm not going to go until I can afford a business class ticket. You know, I'm just waiting to go on that trip. Like Germany, I'm waiting until I can afford the business class ticket. I'm not.
I think the only way I would ever feel like I need to pay for that would be a flight over 7 hours.
Yeah, but that's what we're talking about
for
here.
This. I know, like, because in general, like, if you fly to the Bahamas, okay, it's a 4 hour, it's like a 4.5 hour flight or something like that, depending on which way you go. Is it really worth paying for business or first class?
If you got the money, sure. But if generally,
like anything, like sure, yes.
But if I'm flying over an entire ocean,
if I got the money, I'm flying first class all the time.
If I'm, you know, like if I'm flying over an entire ocean, like the whole damn thing, well then, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and wait.
Well, when you just win the Powerball tomorrow night and then you can fly first class whenever you want.
You're buying a ticket? The only way to get included in this deal is if you buy a Powerball ticket tomorrow or today for tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. I'm all for it.
Got to get one at least.
Someone says they really do not. They have pretty bad planes, a little extra space, but they have the same type of seating. So again, I have no idea which plane configuration they're in on the way to Brazil. All I know is when they went to Frankfurt, they absolutely had the little pod things, whatever you want to call those.
Yeah. Which is not a regular seat.
Yeah. Now, I have on this plane, maybe you're right. I do not know. I know when they went to Frankfurt, they were not in your normal everyday seat. Their normal United plane that they take to Denver, yes, that's a normal plane. I'm saying because this is 12 hours, did they get a nicer plane? I have
no
idea.
You don't think Taylor Swift's hooking them up with a PJ, you know, to...
They can't fit. They can't fit 100 people on a private jet.
Yeah, maybe Trav could fly down there that way.
Well,
if you
I'm saying it's not just one. You know, there might be two potentially.
It'd be more than that, dude. They got 15 of them, dude. There are hundreds of people going to spread out the wealth
like a little bit. You know,
they
man.
Fly as a team. They don't let any of these guys fly separately like that.
Like Trav isn't going to take a private jet down. No, he's going to be on the team.
You know how much of a jerk he'd come off as if he was taking a private jet.
That's why it's so weird when Urban Meyer said drop me off so I could go hit on college girls. Didn't make any sense. It was an insane move.
Mm-hmm. Someone says the important guys do. I promise I know for a fact. That's my saying is like, if they think Juwan Taylor's knee is impacted by the flight, they will make sure he has one of the better seats. If that's what you're.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
He'll be able to stretch out.
I'm guessing they will do everything possible to make it a comfortable flight for him. Yes.
I mean, it really, I'm not kidding. Like that knee, I mean, that inflammation stuff can pick up quick. That's all.
Someone says also keeping kind. They're taking 777s, not Southwest planes to Brazil. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I don't. They're not taking the regular, you know, aircraft. Anyway, whatever. Too much on the plane, but we'll ask Kling, when Kling,
Spirit out there.
When we have Kling on the show tomorrow or later in the week, we'll text Kling and we'll ask him the exact plane configuration. Yeah, but I think this other text is probably correct, which is someone else just texted and said there might be like 40 or 30 of those pods, and the rest of the plane is normal.
Got it.
Do you think Andy gets a pod?
Yes.
Absolutely.
One.
No question.
I think he does.
I agree.
I
agree.
Think Mahomes does.
Yeah.
I think if you make over $100 million, your ass is in a pod. And I think in this case, if you're Juwan Taylor and you've got an knee problem, you get a pod.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry if you used to get one. You don't get one on this flight.
Yeah. My guess is Breshard Smith's not getting the pod.
Yeah. Jason Brownlee's got to sit on a window seat.
Yeah. Anyway, up next, we'll get to what's trending. Let's get a play. Let's get an aviation.
No,
let's get an Drew. Let's book an aviation expert for later in the week. We need a configuration breakdown
let
on
me
the
call
flight.
MCI right now. I'm going to get a.
That's right. Let's get an aviation expert on. All right. Up next, what's trending? Plus, we spoke with Nate Taylor a little bit earlier today about the health of Juwan Taylor and some other players and what he's expecting in Brazil.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, now that we got the plane configuration stuff figured out, the Royals in action tonight. 6:40, first pitch. Michael Lorenzen on the bump. Vern's on deck show at 5:30, right here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, they are 2.5 out of the final wild card spot. They are chasing the Mariners. They're also just behind the Rangers, too. So they need to leap back in front of the Rangers, who have been one of the hottest teams in baseball, unfortunately, winning like 8 of 10 or 9 of 11, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that'll run into a problem. But look, if that's their hot stretch, but you're going to have your hot stretch. Now, they've, of course, played really good baseball since the All-Star break. Still chance to catch up, but yeah, they got to start winning right away. I am still curious to see how much Carter Jensen and Jack Caglione play. No lineup out yet for today, as those two guys got called up. Next up on What's Trending, Chiefs game week underway. Only player who didn't practice in Chiefs today is Jalen Royals with his knee tendonitis. All other players are expected to be able to suit up and be available for them for their game coming up this Friday. It's obviously the Chiefs officially play an NFL game this week. Feels weird to say. I'm sure you guys talked about it yesterday when you guys were filling in for Labor Day, but...
Elsewhere on What's Trending, a new AP Top 25 poll is out. I know you guys are so excited for this. Ohio State, number one in the country. No surprise, they move up from three. Penn State stays at two. LSU goes from nine all the way up to number three. That's because they beat Clemson. Georgia sits at four. Miami Hurricanes go up from 10 to five. Oregon is six. Texas drops to seven. Clemson drops to eight. Notre Dame drops to nine. South Carolina moves up to 10th. That's your top 10 in the AP. K-State obviously fell out.
Man, they had Texas drop 1-7 just because they lost to the number 3 team in the country on the road. I think that's tough.
I think it's how bad Arch Manning looked.
I mean,
I don't think it's just that they lost. Too, I think it's because Arch Manning did not look good.
Also,
that's just a big swing for one bad game.
Miami beat Notre Dame, so they jumped 5 spots, you know, and Georgia moves up one spot. LSU took the huge leap from 9 to 3. I mean, LSU beat Clemson. They should move up. It doesn't, you know, for sure. We don't have to have the whole AP poll conversation again. But by the way, Alabama went from 8 all the way back to 21 after their.
That is not a surprise.
They looked horrendous.
They were as good for so long. I still take a little joy in watching Alabama lose. Man, Kalen DeBoer, what's his over under on years he coaches in Alabama?
He better get going. He better get going in a hurry.
0-0 to 1 from right now, I would say.
I mean, he better start winning here quick.
I thought somebody described it well. Somebody called into the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday and said, Kalen DeBoer is the substitute teacher who has lost control of the class, and Nick Saban is the teacher who's gone now, and Kalen DeBoer is the substitute. I thought that was an interesting way to describe it, where he looks, the players weren't giving effort. It was like, what's going on here?
They were slow.
It was raining in fairness in Tallahassee, but still, they looked bad.
Very much so.
I don't even know if K-State got any votes, by the way. I haven't checked that, but they're obviously out.
I did not see that part of it. Also, just one other thing. The Bills did re-sign wide receiver Gabe Davis today. To their practice squad.
I mean, his best years were there. It's kind of like the Chiefs just bringing back whatever other random wide receiver. It's like
McColl.
Juju. It's exactly that. It's bringing back Juju. It's bringing back McColl. It's like a wide receiver. And also speaks to, and we said this before, the Bills got wide receiver problems. It's not like an elite set.
Well, they need Keon Coleman to step up.
Or they need Dalton Kincaid to step up. Yeah. They need one of the guys they've drafted early over the last couple of years.
Kincaid did not have a good year last year.
And Keon Coleman was disappointing in his rookie year. You know, they need him to step up. Obviously, you know, so much of their offense now is driven by James Cook and Josh Allen, just those two, but they definitely could use some more on the outside. So we'll see how it pans out offensively. But Curtis Samuel was disappointing last year, too. So that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, joined us. We talked to him a little bit about Brazil, but also about what the internal optimism is for this offense heading into Friday night and really the rest of the season.
Now, think about this, guys. All we know about is Rashee Rice being suspended. We know Jalen Royals is likely not to play because he has not practiced this week. And again, he's a rookie. And that's really it, guys. They're as healthy as they were at any point last season, right? I want to remind people that there was no Hollywood Brown in week one. He will be available Friday night. So you're basically swapping him and Rashee Rice. But outside of that, you have a healthy Isaiah Pacheco. You have Kareem Hunt, who wasn't even on the roster this time last season. It really does come down to, and I think this is why the Chiefs have not been so, like, bullish. They haven't been very boastful. It really comes down to, man, if we could just protect 15, especially on the blind side with Kingsley Suamataia having his second career start at left guard and rookie Josh Simmons having his first career start in a foreign land on primetime, big spotlight game. Here comes Khalil Mack. Like, if they can do well, then this offense will score 30 points. We got a glimpse of it in the preseason finale against the Bears. But the reason why the Chiefs are not as voyeous, not as verbal about this game is because they do understand who's protecting the blind side of Patrick. And again, that comes with, you know, some unknowns just because they haven't had to do it yet together as a two young guy tandem.
This is probably procedural, but I saw that at least Moore was running with first team right tackle for a little bit. Is there any concern over Jawan Taylor's knee, the draining, the travel, all the stuff that comes with the extra time on a flight?
Yeah, great point, because he's going to be one of the first people I try to get my eyes on Thursday morning, ladies and gentlemen, from Sao Paulo. Again, if the logistics work, if traffic isn't an absolute nightmare. But yeah, We asked Juwan last week about it and just said, hey, I might have to get my knee drained, which was similar to last year just because of all the things you just said, Cody. Like, man, like, we're going so far away. This is so out of everybody's comfort zone, not just in the regular season, but to actually start the regular season this way. I think that's where it gets really tricky. Now, I've talked to, you know, some former offensive linemen who say, hey, if the field's not great, that's actually to the offensive lineman's benefit because the defensive lineman won't have the necessary traction and the get-off that they would usually have under, you know, normal NFL playing surfaces. So when it comes to Juwan Taylor, like, he wants to play. He is their starting right tackle. But they're going to have to manage it. And, you know, at least for the Chiefs' sake, thank goodness you have Jalen Moore as a glorified, overqualified, you know, sixth offensive lineman. But I think Juwan will do everything in his power, even if it means he's got to drain that knee again that he has tried not to have since the offseason began, really since he had, you know, his procedures, I believe, in like March and June. He has not had to have that yet, but the Chiefs have been smart to manage it. So we'll see. But I fully expect him to be out there in uniform in Friday's game.
We're talking to Nate Taylor from ESPN here on Cody and Gold. You also reported in the last 24, 48 hours or so that anybody thinking there was going to be a last-minute contract extension announcement for Trent McDuffie, well, that's not happening before the start of this season.
Yeah, which I think is unfortunate because it was one of my things that I had on the to-do list for the team. You know, I'm not trying to compare these things, but it is educational to know what happened with Micah Parsons. Now, I'm not saying Trent McDuffie is Micah Parsons, the player, the person. These are two different people. But the reason why the Micah Parsons thing got so out of hand is because you had plenty of chances to sign him. And this offseason, essentially from the moment they signed Trey Smith after the franchise tag deadline period on July 15th, that was really your first opportunity to sign Trent McDuffie long-term to ensure that he will play pretty much every season in his 20s with you. They've done that with Trey Smith. They've done that with George Karloftis. Trent McDuffie was next in line. They did secure his fifth-year option. So I want to make that very clear. It was in the story as well on ESPN.com. Like, the Chiefs do still have club control this year and next year. And if they want to get, you know, diabolical, I guess they could franchise tag him for the 2027 season. Now, you don't want that to happen, but that's a possibility. So I think most smart front offices understand, given where the salary cap is going, which, let me tell you, kids, if this thing goes well on YouTube on Friday night, if there's no glitches, similar to what happened with Netflix on Christmas Day, the salary cap is going to go up because these games, these standalone games, are only going to go further up in terms of bidding. Commercials are going to go up. Obviously, there's going to be a bigger salary cap, which means, hey, the percentage that that player is on the salary cap will theoretically go down as the cap continues to balloon in this modern, you know, new age streaming era. So for all intents and purposes, I think it was behooved of the Chiefs to really try for the last 6 weeks. It has not gone, you know, well. I think both parties, I should say, understand that, hey, next offseason is really where it's going to start to get interesting because, hey, we still have the fifth-year option, but we would like to acquire and control your services beyond that. Trent McDuffie has been on the record that says, hey, he loves the Chiefs. He loves being a Chief. He is Brett Veach's highest draft pick ever, ladies and gentlemen. So it is imperative that they sign him to a long-term deal because he is their second-best defender. He's so good. And if Ladd McConkey does nothing on Friday, it will largely be because of Steve Spagnuolo's scheme and Trent McDuffie executing it, whether from the slot or from the perimeter.
Nate, I know we've talked a lot about the offense on this. I feel like the defensive game plan is hope guys just get better. Like I know that sounds kind of weird, but like on the defensive line, it's largely the same group. I know Gelati and Norman Lott got added in the draft, but with rookies and Spags and that stuff usually taking some time, unless one of those guys is going to burst onto the scene early, a lot of the same defensive backs, a lot of the same safeties, a lot of the same defensive linemen, especially for a team that didn't get a ton of pass rush. Why should I guess I believe that they'll be a lot better in the pass rush department other than they were 2 years ago, certainly, but is this just an ebb and flow thing that they're banking on?
Well, I'll try to give you the optimistic version first, fellas. Hey, Mike Dana wasn't healthy for much of last season. Charles Omenihu, as we knew, was coming off the ACL. The year before that, he was, you know, serving a suspension, kind of like Rasheed Rice is now. So those are two big question marks that could go in your favor. Hey, Mike Dana is a better player, more of what he showed 2 years ago, and you get Charles Minnehue for a full season. He's very good on the edge and on the interior on third down. Chris Jones, an incredible player, right? So if you have more support around him, hey, maybe he'll get more one-on-one opportunities, and he'll devour the quarterback more, get back to that double-digit sack number that we're accustomed to. George Karlaftis really took off in the second half of the season. Hey, we just signed you to a long-term contract. You ain't got to worry about that. Now you can just go out and ball and work off Chris Jones from a one-on-one standpoint. Let's see that motor. Let's see that relentlessness. Hey, you can have another 10-digit kind of, you know, sack year. Hey, if you get 10 sacks, incredible year for George Karlaftis. Now the negative. Boys, all four of those things got to happen, and I'm dead serious, because after I mentioned those four names, Charles Minnehue, George Karlaftis, Chris Jones, Charles Minnehue, okay, could Derek Nighty hold up for 17 games? I mean, I guess. Omar Norman Lott, really talented.
Jerry Tillery. Take a while.
Jerry Tillery, I mean, cool. Like, they don't have Felix Anidike-Uzomah. They don't have Janarius Robinson. Both those guys are on IR, not coming back this season. Okay, Ashton Gelati, hey, man, try really hard for like 6 weeks and come back to me. So we'll see what happens, right? It's all four of them dudes, guys. I just, like, there is no Mike Pinnell. He plays for the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, you just can't sign him off the street if things go bad in, like, week four. Like, that's not happening. So, yeah, you need all four of those guys to be really great. That's the pessimistic version of it. And, hey, it would be really nice if the offense got back to being a spaceship so that we're up by, like, 7 points in the second half and we can start to tee off and Spags can start to use blitzes to be creative, you know, whatever. Like, I mean, I think the secondary will be fine even without Justin Reed. But, I mean, once again, Chris Jones, hey, man, be Aaron Donald again. Be an all-world destroyer and have hopefully a good trio to support you from a pass rushing standpoint with George Karlaftis, Mike Dana, and Charles Minnehue. And then hopefully, and we'll see this on Friday, hey, man, Najee Harris, he's an NFL running back. Go defend him. Go tackle him really well. Amario Hampton, hey, he's supposed to be a first-round pick, rookie, supposed to be a dynamic star. Well, welcome him to the NFL. Show him how it's not going to be like college on opening night in Sao Paulo. That's the task for the defensive line. But really, their four defensive linemen have to stay healthy, have to be productive, have to work together for this defensive line to be what it was 2 years ago, less so than it was last year.
Real quick, Nate, before we let you go, we were having the conversation. If I said you had to put $100 on any of these teams you mentioned, how many legit Lombardi contenders do you think there are where you would put your hard-earned money on them? Because I you have six. Okay, my four were Chiefs, Bills, Eagles, Packers. Who are your six?
I think you still got to include the Ravens, okay. Even though – Yeah, I know. January. I know, guys. I know. It's not all Lamar last year. Lamar was fine in the second half in Buffalo. It was freaking the most reliable guy they have, and Andrews screwing up. So, okay, I get it. You guys have Packers and Eagles, right, from the NFC?
I have the Packers and Eagles, and I have the Chiefs and Bills. Cody had, instead of the Packers, I think he added
in the Bucks.
Added in the Bucks.
No, stop it. Stop it.
We're including the Packers. Jordan Love's stop like 20 it. And 12 every year.
I would rather go with the Lions just because, hey, they've had the now true NFL experience, right? It sucks that they don't have Aaron Glenn. They don't have Ben Johnson anymore. But largely the core still together. Hey, let's see Aiden Hutchinson come back from the injury, be a dominant force again. But they have true experience now. Jared Goff. Still in the prime of his career. He's not tailing off just yet. I would love to include the Rams, but my man's shoulder about to fall off.
Yep.
So I can't really do that, even though they have the better coach in Sean McVay. So, hey, the Lions have true experience now. Hey, they made it to the NFC Championship in an absolute, you know, storybook kind of season, kind of choked it away in the second half against the 49ers. Hey, it happens. You're on the road. Last year, everybody fell off on defense. And Jared Goff had his worst game of the season. And look, Jaden Daniels, very good. Obviously, one of the better rookie seasons we've ever seen. Hey, they got you, right? So now you know what it's like in two playoff runs to, hey, maximize what might be the last window of this great run I would still put the Lions in the mix. The Bengals don't have a good defense. The Broncos, I mean, they have a great defense. Could they be the Baltimore Ravens of yesteryear where it's like, hey, Bo, hand the ball off and check it down, man. The defense will do everything else. Like, it's possible.
It's tough, but we now know that, like, Lamar Jackson's an MVP, you know? We know that now. We didn't know that then, but we knew that now.
Yeah. So, again, I think the Broncos are kind of in the mix. Yes, Tampa Bay is frisky. They'll win their division. They'll have maybe one, maybe two playoff games at home. So, you know, they're a contender. But I think there's really six teams who legitimately will start the season saying Super Bowl or bust. And I'm fascinated to see what in God name the Eagles are going to do to the Cowboys on Thursday. I'm going to be on that. I'm going to be watching that from Sao Paulo, like almost looking through my eyes. Like, oh my God, Dak Prescott, get out of that game healthy, my boy, because they're going to destroy the Cowboys.
That was Nate Taylor with us earlier today at the end there talking about Thursday Night Football. Yeah, it kicks it all off. As I said, just ignore all the pregame stuff. Just watch kickoff of Eagles Cowboys. You don't need to watch the trophy celebration and ceremony. I don't need to watch that.
They got some funny Jerry Jones clips who said, I like the pain, when asked why he hasn't hired somebody in charge this entire time.
Eagles fans love Jerry Jones. Eagles fans love Jerry Jones.
But they do. Mm-hmm. Eagles have made it to 3 Super Bowls in the last 15 years with 3 different head coaches. They've only won one of those.
Yeah.
But are 4 Super Bowls with 3 different coaches, because they made one with Andy, one with Doug Peterson, and 2 with Nick Sirianni, winning just
2 of them.
Or 2 of them, yeah.
They won with Peterson. Peterson's got a statue at the damn stadium.
So Doug Peterson, they got 2. So, like, they don't, by the way, that is why Howie Roseman and the Eagles get the marker of, if there's an organization that is a gold standard in the NFL besides the Chiefs, the Eagles and the Chiefs are the 2 best-run teams in the league. The Eagles can fire their head coach and still be relevant a few years later because they know how to run an organization.
Yeah, they've been the two. I mean, they have been the 2 best organizations over the last 4 years.
Probably 10, honestly. Stretch it out.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty much since Andy Reid stepped foot in Kansas City and the Eagles that entire run.
Yeah,
although they might have had a Chip Kelly year in there.
Yeah, Chip Kelly was a thing. Did you see the news that came out about a half hour ago?
No, what I miss?
For those that like to live in a little bit of nostalgia, we know backyard baseball's been back a little bit. They just announced, they being Backyard Sports, Backyard Football 99 coming back September 9th.
I never played that one.
So I play backyard soccer, baseball, football. My only request for this, it's cool they're bringing it back. I want the revamp version.
You want Bobby Witt Jr.
Like this
one, Pablo.
Like this one's cool. Like, it's got Jerry Rice and Randall Cunningham and Barry Sanders and Dan Marino playing with, you know, what's his name?
I can't remember the NFL.
Oh gosh, or some of the Kenny Kawaguchi. You know, they got them on there. Yo. But I want the version where Kenny Kawaguchi's playing with Patrick Mahomes and Jamar Chase.
Keep the original characters' names, but give me the fresh players.
That's all I'm asking for. But I'm excited to see. I have the Backyard Baseball reboot on my iPad, and every once in a while, like on the plane, I played it for a little bit. But I want the redo. I want Backyard Baseball 26, 25 or something that has, can you imagine Lamar Jackson on Backyard Football?
That'd be fun.
Yeah, that's what I want. But it's cool they're bringing it all back. Remember, some company bought them a year or two ago and smartly revitalized the whole series, because it's nostalgic for a lot of us in our 30s, 40s, even late 20s. That was something we all played. Drew, you played it even, right? I know you're a little younger.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Backyard Sports is back, baby. Someone says it was cool when they were younger. They don't think it'd be cool now. Again, it's nostalgia. I'd rather play graphics of Madden or something now,
but it's
a fun, like, I'm not gonna sit there and play it for 5 hours, but on an airplane you're trying to kill time in a doctor's office or something, hop on a little Backyard Football or something. Like, I'm not rushing home now to go play Backyard Baseball, but
good time.
I got a big draft tonight, big fantasy baseball or football draft tonight, fantasy baseball playoffs going on. Kramer and I
have neck, the Tack neck family neck. Fantasy football draft
tonight.
Long been named Taps versus Craps.
Love it.
Half taps, it's half non taps.
I like that. All right. Hope you guys have a good rest of the day. Tomorrow, Josh Klingler, Ross Tucker, Josh Vernier. It's football week. That's coming up tomorrow on the show. Up next, though, it's CDOT and Rob on the drive.